Welcome to On the Bench. This is Brennan Sinone of Noles 24/7. A different sort of episode coming to you today here on Friday morning as I'm recording this. You're probably going to get it on Friday afternoon by the time it's done being recorded and edited and whatnot. And hopefully, fingers crossed, it's still relevant by the time you are indeed listening to it on your drive home from the end of the work week. What I wanted to do was get a different sort of voice for you on here as we're talking about the coaching search. I wanted someone who is well-versed in one of the top candidates, someone that we believe has kind of emerged as the primary candidate for Florida State, with the caveat that, you know, that the search firm of DHR is well-known at misdirection and whatnot. We do not believe there's a done deal in place yet right now, but Mike Norvell of Memphis is the name that continues to pop up both in coaching circles and some of our FSU sources as someone who some people have speculated that there's a handshake deal. I don't know if I can go that far to report that, but we do at least think that Mike Norvell is someone that FSU has zeroed in on during this process. Our Ole Miss website reported something along the lines of that too yesterday. So there's a lot of people who were kind of speculating and connecting dots that Mike Norvell, Florida State, is something that could happen after Memphis plays in the AAC championship game this weekend. With that in mind, again, not 100% saying it's Mike Norvell at all, but we do want to inform our listeners of the coach at Memphis, what he's done. I know we've talked about him at the podcast. We are on the podcast, and previously we've written about him as well, gone over pros and cons for Mike Norvell and what he's done at Memphis. I want to bring on someone who's more of an authority, who's worked with him much more closer than any of us, Josh, Chris, myself have, and that's Mark Giannotto of the Commercial Appeal in Memphis. He's a columnist there, and he's worked with Coach Norvell for the last couple years. He's also a co-host of a radio program in Memphis, Giannotto and Jeffrey. So he's someone who has a lot of knowledge about Memphis Tigers football and specifically Mike Norvell. So I'm gonna get Mark on here after the commercial break to talk a little bit about Coach Norvell, his strengths, weaknesses, what his program does well at Memphis, and so hopefully give you guys more of a in-depth idea of what Coach Norvell would bring to Florida State if theoretically he were to come here. Again, as we record this on Friday afternoon or Friday morning, and you're listening to it on Friday afternoon, this is the working one of the working assumptions right now is that Coach Norvell is a very high up the list candidate for Florida State. So commercial break coming up here, and then on the way back, Mark Giannotto of the Commercial Appeal to tell you a little bit about Coach Norvell.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
All right, we're back, and as promised, I have Mark Giannotto from the Commercial Appeal. Mark, welcome. I understand that you had a busy night previously, so thank you for coming on the show and being a little peaked, but being a trooper and joining us.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me on.
How was I heard you were at the Chappelle show? How was that for our listeners? If people want to know if how Chappelle was in person.
Oh, he was fantastic. It felt like he was kind of, I guess you could say, like testing out some new stuff. It was like a whole new act from the Netflix special, the recent Netflix special. And he was really funny. He did two shows here in Memphis last night. I think he did a 7 o'clock and a 10 o'clock. And I went to the 10 o'clock and, you could tell he was loose by the 10 o'clock one. I think he revealed at the end that he had taken an edible before the show. So that kind of made it a very, interesting dynamic, but it was, very funny. And, yeah, like I said, you could tell he was testing out stuff. Like, who knows how much of that will make his next special, but it was just fun, to almost like be in his laboratory, if you will.
Yeah. To describe Dave Chappelle as loose, we know his reputation is as someone who's going to say what he thinks anyways, is something. So that probably was a treat.
Yeah.
So, all right, we have you on to talk about because you are a someone who's well-versed in covering Memphis coach Mike Norvell. And as I mentioned with many, many qualifiers in the intro, he's someone who is high atop FSU's board right now. Some people are speculating that it's likely he's coming to Florida State. We don't know that for a fact yet, but we do know that there has been at least enough chatter to say there's mutual interest. I want my listeners to get to know Coach Norvell. So, Mark, for you in your time covering Coach Norvell, what would you say the most impressive accomplishment that he's had in his four seasons at Memphis? Like, what stands out to you about what he's done over the past several years?
I would say it's two pronged in what it is. Let's start first with his offense. I think they may have fallen just outside the top 10 in total offense after last week's game in Cincinnati, but basically, let's say as of last week, they were a top 10 offense in the country. There are only three other teams in the entire country who have had top 10 offenses over the past 3 years. It's UCF, Ohio State, and Oklahoma, and then Memphis.
Wow.
And what's most impressive about that is with Mike, he's done it in three totally different ways. Like if you go back to 2017, he had this dynamic passing attack led by Anthony Miller, wide receiver who's now playing for the Chicago Bears. Riley Ferguson was the quarterback. Last year, he has a top 10 offense with a dynamic rushing attack with this experienced offensive line with Darrell Henderson and Tony Pollard, who are now both playing in the NFL. And then this year, it's kind of been a mix of both, but he's done it with, you know, there was a third running back on that team a year ago, Patrick Taylor, who got an NFL draft grade and decided to come back. And then he gets hurt in the first game of the year and missed eight games this year. And yet he ends up producing another 1,000-yard rusher in Kenny Gainwell, a redshirt freshman, who was just this week one of two unanimous selections for first-team All-AAC. And then he's got this quarterback, Brady White, who's come on strong over the last six or eight games, but I'll just be honest, he's not that great of a quarterback, but in Mike's offense, he is. You look at his numbers, they're gaudy. And so he's done it in just three totally different ways. Like that to me is just speaks volumes about what type of offensive coach he is. And then the other thing that just, I think mind boggling about what he's accomplished at Memphis, there's only one guy left from his original coaching staff here, and he sent his two offensive coordinators have gone. Daryl Dickey became the offensive coordinator at Texas A&M. Kenny Dillingham he's had three. Chip Long, who started out with him, became the offensive coordinator at Notre Dame. Daryl Dickey then became the offensive coordinator at Texas A&M, and then last year Kenny Dillingham was the offensive coordinator and Auburn hired him. So people want, and then there's all these other assistants that have gone on to bigger jobs being with Mike Norvell. And so he had to replace seven assistant coaches this year. He had to replace the same amount of assistant coaches as Alabama did. Everyone made a big deal about what Nick Saban had to do. Mike Norvell had to do the exact same thing. And yet he's having literally if they win tomorrow, this will go down as the greatest season in Memphis football history in the AAC championship game, if they win that. So that to me, those are probably the two most impressive things about what he's accomplished here. One, just how powerful this offense has been, but also just how he's done it in so many different ways. It's not like he's riding the coattails of some dynamic player or a particular way of doing things. He's adapted to each year to his personnel and come out on the other end with one of the best offenses in the country. And then he's done it all with just tremendous coaching turnover. And again, that speaks to, I think, what type of coach he is, that he's created this. I mean, this is the greatest era of Memphis football ever. And the way he's done it has just been remarkable.
And Mark, you touched on both of those topics or things I want to get more into. Let's start off with the offense and how prolific the Memphis offense has been with Coach Norvell there. He's the primary play caller, right? Like he's the one that's his, oh, the yeah. offense is his baby.
This is his baby. I mean, honestly, he's given me some access behind the scenes a little bit. I mean, to the point, like, one, yes, he is the play caller on game day, but even though there's someone's listed as the quarterback's coach, he's like the quarterback's coach. He's that involved with the offense. And it's not to say he's not involved with the defense or special teams. I mean, he's less involved, obviously. He's an offensive coach at heart, and his goal is to hire a defensive coordinator who can essentially be the head coach on that side of the ball. But yes, the offense is his baby, and it's frankly, it's why, you know, like a lot of people have talked about here in Memphis, if he goes, like, will they hire one of these former coordinators that went on to bigger jobs, or will they elevate the offensive line coach here? And it's one of the reasons I question why you should be hesitant to do that, because I really do think Mike is the straw that stirs this drink, if you will. And so, and I don't know if just hiring his coordinator, you're going to be able to replicate what he does, but yes, the offense is his baby.
And are there certain, you mentioned that he's done this in very different ways. They've been prolific on offense for the last several years now, and they've done it with different types of personnel. Are there, I guess, key elements that are consistent though, that if he continues at Memphis or if he goes somewhere else, like what would be the hallmarks of a Mike Norvell offense?
I think one is obviously, I mean, it's tempo. It's a high tempo offense. He wants to run a lot of plays. I would say it's also, I mean, he's not, even though it's a prolific offense, like I mentioned, it's not like it's just a pass happy. It's not the air raid. He, like, even though it's fast tempo, he's always going to want to establish the run. I would say it's a spread offense with pro style elements. And so it's a mix of both things. And, so he's going to push the ball deep. But he's also going to establish the run too. And another trademark of it is you need a quarterback, and he's good at, this is why I think part of the reason why he's almost like a de facto quarterback coach at times. He runs a lot of checks at the line. It's a lot of RPOs where the quarterback is going to make a decision at the line of scrimmage. You know, they're going to have a couple options based on what the defense does. And so that would be, I guess, the general way I would say sort of the outlines of it. But again, he's changed the offense over the course of the season. Like at the beginning of the year, they were running a ton of wide receiver screens, bubble screens and things like that. And then after they lost the Temple game, they had a bad game against, I forget who, like the offense didn't this year, for instance, whereas the offense, it seemed like was a juggernaut from the get go the last 2 years. This year, I mean, they won that Ole Miss game to open the year 15-10. Like the offense wasn't necessarily clicking on all cylinders at the beginning of the year. And so he changed some things and the offensive line got better, but where they started pushing the ball down the field a little more. And then just in general, I mean, if you look at what Memphis has done and the players they've sent to the NFL, I mean, this is an offense, and this is kind of his recruiting mantra. It's an offense built for playmakers. He's going to get his guys in matchups and in space. And I'd argue, Memphis's skill position players are as good as most Power Five teams. They have been under Mike Norvell. His wide receivers, his running backs, even the quarterbacks, maybe not quite as much the quarterbacks, but, certainly, I mean, you've got Anthony Miller, who's playing for the Bears. You got Daryl Henderson and Tony Pollard, Patrick Taylor and Kenny Gainwell, the running backs this year, probably going to both play in the NFL. Demonte Coxey, the wide receiver, their leading wide receiver this year, guys, he's going to probably play in the NFL. So it's an offense built for playmakers. And I think it's been a great recruiting tactic of his as well, because he can just, I mean, frankly, you just put on the highlights of this Memphis offense, and there are just big plays all over the place.
You mentioned the coaching tree. It's exhaustive in a great way. It's really impressive and a relatively short amount of time too. And I know the commercial appeal has a full list of that was done, I think, by one of your colleagues earlier this year. We've linked to it before, and I would recommend people go and check that out for the full list. I know you said it, Mark, that it's impressive. How has it branched out so rapidly to Auburn, to Notre Dame, to Georgia, to all these big programs? Is Mike Norvell just that good of an evaluator of coaches, or is he developing them? It's an interesting dynamic.
Yeah, I think it's both, but probably more so, I think he's just good at identifying good coaches, and he's pretty well connected. I mean, like, look at a guy like Kenny Dillingham. Kenny Dillingham, who's now the offensive coordinator at Auburn. I mean, that guy's like 6 years removed from being a high school coach. But Mike got to know him out at Arizona State when Mike was the offensive coordinator. He brought him on as a GA. Kenny was a GA when he came to Memphis even. But then, you know, Mike realized that Mike saw the coaching talent, if you will, in Kenny Dillingham, and Kenny knows the offense better than probably anyone except Mike Norvell at this point. And, you know, he moved up quickly. Dan Lanning at Georgia, who's now the defensive coordinator at Georgia, and kind of a sexy name, an up and coming name, I guess, for maybe a group of five head coaching job in the near future. I mean, that guy was like the inside linebackers coach and the recruiting coordinator here, but Mike, and he did a great job as the recruiting coordinator. He recruited Kenny Gainwell, for instance, the star running back for Memphis this year. I think he's just been good at identifying coaching talent, and finding guys who mesh with what he does. But I also think what I always am impressed with Mike is, for a guy who's pretty young, he's, I think, 38, and he's only been a head coach for 4 years, he's got this system in place and a culture in place that lends itself to this turnover, if you will. Like, even though they had seven new assistant coaches, it didn't feel all that different around the program this year. And I think that's a reflection of the, I guess, comfort level and confidence that Mike exudes on a daily basis. And the coaching tree thing is remarkable. It's really even hard to explain that he's been able to maintain the success he has with these Power Five programs each year poaching his coach.
I know a lot of what I see on my message board, Mark, is when there are people being kind of skeptical of the potential of Mike Norvell coming to Florida State, is they don't know how much of what he's done the last few years is him putting his own, you know, fingerprints on it, and how much was it a good situation that Justin Fuente built up and has now done a solid job at Virginia Tech. I guess, how do you, and I, correct me if I'm wrong, you weren't covering Memphis under Fuente, correct?
No, I actually used to cover Virginia Tech. So
okay.
and a funny coincidence. Here's what I would say. I would say, you look at his first couple years, Riley Ferguson, the quarterback. Fuente, I guess, technically recruited him, but Mike was the one who got him to stay on board. I would just say this. Fuente resurrected a dead program. And this was, people forget that in 2010, 2011, this, like, before Fuente got to Memphis, this was one of the worst FBS programs in the entire country. It was like a dead end job. And Fuente did a phenomenal job resurrecting it and turning it into a good program again. Mike Norvell has very clearly taken it to another level. He's the best recruiter Memphis football has ever had. I say that with certainty. And if you look at this year's team, which is 11-1, is the first 11-win team in Memphis football history, one win away from the Cotton Bowl, which would be the biggest bowl game Memphis football has ever played in. There are right now four guys on the roster still from the Fuente era, and none of them actually played for Justin Fuente. They were redshirts. So this team, this great team, is almost entirely Mike Norvell players, guys who Mike Norvell brought in. So I would say part of the reason he took the job was because it was a good situation, but he's very clearly elevated the program since he got here. I just think he was smart to take on. This was a smart first job for him because of what Justin Fuente did here. But I don't think anything of what he's doing right now has anything to do with Justin Fuente. This is all Mike Norvell.
You mentioned that he's the best recruiter in the history of Memphis football. I guess one thing, when you look at the recruiting rankings, and this is, 24/7 is a recruiting website. Memphis has always been in the top path of the AAC under Norvell, but has never been at the top of the conference. It's something that some people are skeptical of. If he's not recruiting at the highest level in his own conference, can he do that at Power 5 level?
Are you sure about that? Because I thought he's had a couple years. He's had the best or second best recruiting class.
Yeah, he's been two a couple times, if I recall. He's been at least two, and so we're difference between one and two is probably pretty marginal. But I guess my point is that something that, even overlooking that, like Memphis compared to, it's hard to recruit the state of Tennessee. There's not as many blue chip prospects there as there are, say, Florida or Texas, where some of these other programs are. So I guess how impressive is what he has done as a recruiter?
Yeah. Well, and here's what I would say, what I think is impressive, for instance, you go around Memphis, every one of the 4- and 5-star recruits here in Memphis list Memphis in their top five pretty much. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so Mike has recruited them, but let's be realistic. He's not going to beat Tennessee or Arkansas or, some of these SEC schools for kids. I mean, he shouldn't, to be quite honest, at Memphis. What I think the recruiting rankings don't reflect, Mike has done a great job at being very creative. And this is, I don't know how this will translate. I think it's hard to predict how Mike's recruiting will translate to Florida State, because at Florida State, let's just be honest, he's going to recruit a totally different caliber of recruit on a regular basis. He can get 5-stars and 4-stars at Florida State. And he's gotten, I think, 2 4-stars at Memphis. But the thing I would say about him being creative, you look at some of the best recruits on this roster, Coyote Oladele, who's the one Florida guy on the roster. He wasn't, technically Memphis didn't get him by going into Florida. They got him because he committed to Auburn and then couldn't get in academically to Auburn. Something happened and Mike pounced, and he's taken advantage of the fact that, quite frankly, and the Memphis basketball program has benefited from this over the years as well. You can get in some kids here to Memphis that you can't get into other schools, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Like DeMonte Coxey, their leading wide receiver, he was supposed to go to LSU, but he couldn't get it. Something happened academically. And Mike pounced. He's done a great job at blue shirting kids. That's what Daryl Henderson Daryl Henderson was a gray shirt, but a couple of their starting defensive linemen were blue shirts. He's been very creative recruiting wise. And he's beaten, Kenny Gainwell, the star running back. That was a kid who had an Ole Miss offer. And Mike got him over Ole Miss. Mike was in on him much earlier than Ole Miss. Ole Miss came in late, and Mike still got him. So I think he's going to be a great recruiter at Florida State if he ends up there. I know he doesn't have connections in Florida, but I would just say when you look at the landscape, and you know this better than me, but and you can correct me if I'm wrong, you've got Miami in disarray right now. You've got, University of Florida has a good coach, but he's not exactly a dynamic recruiter. Mm-hmm. And I think Mike is a pretty good recruiter. And I think he's smart enough, one, to know he's going to have to recruit Florida if he takes the Florida State job. And he's going to have to get, he's going to have to hire some guys who will help him get in the door at first. But I think over time, he'll be fine there. And then I also think he's a guy who's very well connected in Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas, now Tennessee. I think to me, and this is probably more speculation at this point than facts, but my questions about Mike at Florida State do not involve recruiting.
Okay.
To be honest, I think he's going to be a good recruiter if he goes to Florida State.
All right. So I have two more questions for you, Mark. I know you need to go in a little bit here. You've spoken very, very highly of Coach Norvell. He's now, he's in his fourth year at Memphis. Are you surprised that it's taken, I know there was rumors with Arkansas 2 years ago that he's been at Memphis for 4 years, that a Power Five school hasn't come up and just thrown a ton of money at him. Like, is it surprising to you, or does this kind of make sense within his timeline that he's still coaching the Group of Five level?
I think 2 years ago I was surprised, but now when you get to know Mike, he's a very pragmatic. I don't think he doesn't want to take a job where I think he really, really loved Memphis. Like, he's being genuine when he says he loves this city, he loves this program, he loves the university here at Memphis. And I think he made it up in his mind a couple years ago, I'm not going to leave this situation where I have it rolling unless I can go to a situation where I have a chance to win a national championship. And that's why I don't think Arkansas or Ole Miss or Missouri really interest him. Because I don't think he views them as having realistic chances to be a national championship contender, even though they're in Power Five conferences. He has said the grass is not always greener. Now, that being said, I think that's why this Florida State thing is so serious, because he knows the potential of Florida State. It's obvious if you look at the last 50 years of college football, what the potential of Florida State is. And so I'm not surprised at this point. I will be surprised, I'll be honest, if he's still the Memphis head coach next week. I'll say that.
All right. Well, that's a transition. And I know the AAC championship game is coming up, but tomorrow, I'm losing track of days during a 35 day coaching search tomorrow, right? AAC championship.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Right. It's Saturday afternoon at 2:30.
All right. So he's coaching in that against Cincinnati. Mark, how do you think this all shakes out? You said you wouldn't be surprised if Mike Norvell is, or you would be surprised if Mike Norvell is coaching at Memphis much longer. I don't know. I'm not asking for you to share sourcing or anything. Just what do you think going on gut and intuition? And what happens here?
I would just say that there is a feeling of inevitability here in Memphis that this is the last game Mike Norvell is going to coach for Memphis. I would say that is, no one here at Memphis, no one at Memphis has said definitively like Mike has taken the job. I think Mike is probably like, I think there, Mike has given himself a level of plausible deniability. Like, I don't think he's actually, I don't think he has accepted anything. There's no deal in place. I don't even, who knows if there's even been an official offer. But I do think Jimmy Sexton is working on his behalf. And I think this will, if indeed he is Florida State's choice, I think this will happen pretty quickly. I think I'd be surprised if we get to Monday even, and we don't know what's going to happen. Like I said, if he's Florida State's choice, which, who knows, it sounds like from reading your stuff and other people down there, they've done a good job of during this search is making sure no one, there's no like terrible leaks, I guess, if you will. Because I think it is important to Mike that he coach this game and not, I don't like, a couple years ago, when Justin Fuente left, a big point of contention, and it kind of, it didn't ruin Justin Fuente's legacy, but it left a sour taste in people's mouth. Like, he basically accepted that Virginia Tech job a week or two before he even finished coaching the regular season for Memphis. And mm-hmm. Memphis fans did not like that. And I think Mike is very aware of his legacy at Memphis and does not want to tarnish that by not focusing completely on this game tomorrow, because it would be a historic achievement in the program's history. And so, but I do think after this game is over tomorrow, if this is going to happen, it's going to happen quickly.
All right, Mark, thank you so much for coming on. I know you have a meeting to get to. I appreciate your insight. I think our listeners are really going to appreciate it too. I just hope that by the time I'm done editing this, that nothing has changed in the next hour or so.
I think you're, like I said, I think once that AAC championship game ends, all bets are off. But as long as prior to that game ending, I don't think we're going to hear anything definitive of what's going to happen, because I don't think Mike is going to allow that to happen. But I think once that AAC championship game ends, if he's Florida State's choice, I think it'll come together pretty quickly.
All right, Mark, thanks for coming on, man. I really appreciate it. You were great.
All right, no problem, Brendan.